Good evening. Thank you for coming back tonight. Again, it's been a great weekend here. We're so thankful to be here. It's hard to believe. I believe it was the summer of 2019 that Pastor Heffernan called me up and invited me here. That was almost 2 years ago. We're thankful we're finally here. Last year, nobody expected last year to happen, but we know that was in God's hand and timing, and things were a little more chaotic where we're at. They basically shut down the state, and that flight that we had was canceled. It was eventually canceled. And we're thankful to be here in God's timing. And we really appreciate getting to know all of you, and your kindness to us, and your sweetness is very evident. And had an enjoyable time with the choir as well. I think I got myself more of a workout than they did. I'm thankful for their spirit as well. Please take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Proverbs are, as a term means, a pithy saying or a catchy phrase that has moral meaning. And these Proverbs deal with various themes. They're really great for not only adults, but young people as well, dealing with morality and finances and various spiritual practical truths. And oftentimes in Proverbs, you have verses that not necessarily connect with each other. Sometimes you do. And in this particular verse, we see a practical truth that applies in all of life, something that's very practical. Each one of us in this room have had expectations met only to become frustrated and disappointed. Or we've had expectations that have never been met, that have lingered and may never be met in our lifetime. We live in a time where sometimes we use this phrase, a hopeless situation. And this evening, here's a question. Where is your hope? Where is your hope? We sung this evening, my hope is in the Lord. And we need to place our hope in the Lord, because we will be disappointed when our hope is anywhere else except in the Lord. Look at our text, Proverbs 13, verse 12 this evening, which says this, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this brief but powerful verse. This is a verse you have used in Bethany's in my life in 2018. This verse continued to be repeated in my mind over and over again. Each one of us in this room have had expectations that have not been met. We have had our expectations met only to become disappointed by the outcome. I pray this evening that we will place our hope in you alone, regardless of our expectations and the circumstances around us, desiring your will to be done and sweetly surrendering and committing our way to your way, as we keep our hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was 7 years old, I was at this time at Highlands Baptist Church in Littleton, Colorado. I just got saved, and I was in junior church memorizing verses. In order to encourage the young people to memorize verses, they had a contest. And my Sunday school teacher at that time, her fiance, flew airplanes. He had his own airplane. And as a little boy, I mean, that was cool to be up in the air and to enjoy an airplane ride. And so the winners of the contest gets to go up in the plane and fly with our Sunday school teacher and her fiance. A free trip is like a 3-hour trip on a Saturday. And anybody who says all their verses could do that. Well, my brother and I worked really hard, and I was looking forward, and I was hoping that I would get the prize, and I said all my verses, and eventually my brother and I both tied, so that meant we both went up in the air. I was looking forward to it. Now, one thing I forgot to tell you, one little detail. My parents reminded me when they heard that I won, they said, Eric, ever since you're little, you have motion sickness. How is that going to affect you up there? And my mom said this, Eric, I don't think you should go. I was like, I won this ride. It's free. I want to be up in the air. I want to be able to go. And my dad told my mom, let him go, and maybe he'll be fine. And so I was fine in the plane while we were on the ground, doing great, wonderful. And then my brother got to be up in the cockpit with the pilot and pretend like he was in there, and it was great. And then all of a sudden, right when we got in the air, the first minute, I was starting to get sick. We hadn't even gone 10 minutes yet of a three-hour flight. And I told my teacher, I'm not feeling well. I'm starting to turn green. I needed the bag. You know what that means. And she told her fiance, we need to head back. I said, no, I don't want to head back. I want to go. I said, no, you need to go back because you're sick. And I came, of course, we went back. It was ended up to be like a 15-minute ride. Went back to the airport. My brother said, Eric, you ruined my trip. You know, I ruined my trip, okay? My expectations were met, but I was disappointed by the outcome because it did not go the way I wanted it to go. Have you ever been in a situation where your expectations were met, but did not go the way that you thought it would go? Our tendency is to have our own expectations apart from God's will in our lives, which results into discouragement, frustration, and even depression. We see that life is full of expectations. When we are young, it's so great to have these kids here. When I was their age, I had dreams. I had expectations. Many of them have not been met. But we have expectations. It's fine having expectations, but our expectations must be aligned with God's will. Your expectations tonight, whatever it might be, must be aligned with God's will for your life. Two simple actions you and I must take according to this text. We need to understand unfulfilled hope. Understand unfulfilled hope. And secondly, experience fulfilled hope. Experience fulfilled hope. Look with me at our text this evening. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. We have this phrase, hope deferred. Hope deferred. We see, first of all, we must understand unfulfilled hope. God gives the reasons in these two words. He gives the reasons for unfulfilled hope. He gives the reasons. The first reason is this: expectations that linger on indefinitely. First, let's do a word study on the word hope. What does hope mean? I mean, we use the word hope such as, well, I hope. Isaiah's birthday is coming up in a couple days. I don't know what he's hoping for. He didn't tell me. He could be hoping for, I'm hoping for a PSI 360. I don't even know what that is. I just heard it's a video game, okay? I'm hoping for a PSI 360. And he's hoping that he's going to get it, right? And that hope, you know, he might not get it. Right? So we use a word hope like, I hope to get it. But when it comes to salvation, we can hope with earnest expectation in a promise of God, definitely, right? We have an indefinite hope thinking, you know, I hope I get something good for my birthday. Or I hope in the Lord because he has saved me from sin. And I hope in my earnest expectation that he will never change and will always love me in spite of my circumstances. See the difference there between an indefinite hope and a definite hope? So hope is this. It's the expectations, dreams, desires, and positive future prospects. The right hope is an earnest expectation in God. But hope is just generally our expectations and dreams. You know, when I was a little boy, I know you're going to laugh at me. You know one thing I prayed about when I was 9 years old? That I would be as tall as Michael Jordan and play basketball as well as him. You could ask your pastor how well I play basketball. We played one-on-one. He creamed me. So God didn't answer my prayer there. You know, we have expectation now. That's a foolish expectation. All of us as kids, right? We have these big dreams that we want to be the president of the United States. And we want to be this famous person, right? So we all have these dreams. There's nothing wrong having dreams and expectations, but they must align with God's will. The next word is this, deferred. The word deferred means a delay of time. In fact, this delay of time may go on, and the hope is never met. So to say hope deferred, first, it means this, that it lingers on indefinitely. For example, you are waiting and waiting for that car that you want. You know, there's a number of young guys here. Your favorite car is a Ford Mustang, right? And you're waiting, you're saving up and saving up for it. And you're still saving up for it 30 years later, right? Or ladies, you have that house all in your dream house, right? That 5-bedroom house and 4 bathrooms. More bathrooms are better, right? And a nice chandelier, a nice foyer. And those type of houses, it's not called a foyer, it's called a foyer, right? And you have it all, I mean, the perfect house in your mind, and you're waiting. 10 years go by, 20 years go by, 30 years go by, and you're still not in that dream house. That's hope deferred. The expectation has lingered on indefinitely, but it also means this, expectations that never come to pass. It never comes to pass. Now, while we have life, there's hope. Maybe we will get that car we want. Maybe we get that house we want. We could wait and wait, but that may never come to pass. And are you okay with that? Are you okay if God has called you here and led you to Fort Scott, Kansas, and you want to go to the big city of New York City, and you want to be able to see the Statue of Liberty, right? And you want to be able to see the big city. And life is boring in here. You know, I want to be able to see the places. You know, hey, that's something my teen group has told me before, right? They think the place they're in is boring. And you know what? Then they go and to the city or to the country. And you know what? They realize there's no place like home, right? Expectations never come to pass. James 4, verse 3 says this, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." Oftentimes, our expectations don't come to pass because we are praying out of God's will. Some of the things I just mentioned are things that oftentimes, there's nothing wrong praying for a car, a nice car that works, and sometimes God blesses us far abundantly, or a house that meets our needs. But oftentimes we pray selfishly, such as my prayer about being as tall as Michael Jordan, playing like him. I mean, that's a selfish prayer, right? And that's praying amiss, and that expectation is not met. So God gives the reasons for unfulfilled hope with hope deferred, hope that lingers on indefinitely, and expectations that are never met. Now we see here, in our next few words in our text, look with me, going on verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. We see God gives the results of unfulfilled hope. What are the results? We see physical sickness. The word sick, actually look at the word heart. The word heart refers to our mind or inner man. One's outward disposition, our soul, the source of life. The inner person with the focus on here, one's thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And the word sick means to be ill, weak, and grieved. This refers to both physical sickness and spiritual sickness. So it affects us physically when our dreams, our hope, is not met. There's a scene in an article that came out a few years ago that mentions this. Quote, researchers have long, and I'm not promoting CNN, by the way, researchers have long studied a phenomena called stress cardiomyopathy or broken heart syndrome, which is when a highly stressful event causes a person to feel like they're having a heart attack. This can include shortness of breath and chest pain, but without the telltale blocked arteries. That, in layman's terms, disappointment and depression affects you physically. Let me give an example. In our last ministry for 2 years, Bethany and I counseled a lady who struggled with great anxiety and depression. And it seemed like every time she saw us, she was depressed all the time. And I asked her, "Why are you so depressed?" And she gave me a list of things. One of the things is, "Well, I just want my husband to treat me better. I just want my kids to treat me better." And because of her response toward not getting what she wanted, she had heart issues. Her heart, she said, would beat really fast. It was hurting. She had to be on a lot of medication. And her doctors told her, "There's nothing we can do for you except give you medication after medication." And so we gave her exercises. We actually watched Quieting and Noisy Soul with her. We gave her homework. We had her read scripture to meditate on the Word of God. And after a while, you know what happened? She was starting to get better. She was not focusing on her own expectation, because I told her, "What happens if your husband never gets saved, if he never treats you right? Will you continue to will you continue experiencing your disappointment? Because your hope must be in God. Regardless if your husband treats you right or not, you have your hope in Jesus Christ because she is saved." You know, and that helped her as she focused not on her problem and her expectation. There's nothing wrong desiring her husband to get things right with the Lord, but it's wrong finding one's satisfaction and joy in circumstances. And as she put her hope in God, you know what? Physically, she was getting better. I think of David's cry in Psalm 42:5, "Why art thou cast down?" The word "cast down" means depressed and sunk down. "O my soul, and why art thou disquieted?" The word "disquieted" means noisy in me. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Each one of us have gotten depressed, right? Just because you're a Christian does not mean you're immune to depression. You're immune to discouragement. We go through discouraging circumstances and disappointments. The question is, how are we going to respond to those circumstances? Are we going to respond like Job did initially and praise God by putting our hope in him? Or are we going to get down in the dumps because we didn't get our way and get discouraged and just think about nothing of the problem and affects us by having a sleepless night after night, by having heart issues, by having all these problems caused simply because I've not turned my hope over to the Lord? It affects us physically, not only in David's situation. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2, when Nehemiah heard of the bad news about the walls in Jerusalem, "Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but what? Sorrow of heart." His heart was down, which affected him physically, his countenance. See that? But can we still have a good countenance and joy, even though we hear bad we're in a bad situation? Absolutely. We might not be happy about circumstances, but we can still have joy. And God gives us the right countenance when we respond rightly by placing our hope in him. Not only do we experience physical sickness, but this word "maketh the heart sick" also refers to spiritual sickness. Oftentimes, the spiritual affects the physical, right? But sometimes there's organic physical problems that affect the spiritual. So we have to understand the difference. And as a pastor, I'm not a doctor. It's important for a doctor to be involved to know, is there something organic that's going on that's causing these issues? But the spiritual sickness is involved when I have a misplaced hope. Job chapter 19, I'm going through the book of Job. I love the book of Job. Job is a godly example of how, I should put it this way, Job is about how a godly man suffers. And the emphasis here is he's still a man. He's godly, but he's still a man. And in his humanity, he said this in Job 19, verse 10. "He, God, hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and mine hope hath he removed like a tree." before you give Job a hard time, he was the same guy that said, "The Lord taketh, and the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He got it right initially. His focus was right, but then after time, he felt like God was his enemy and rooted as a tree his hope away. And much of Job, he was oppressed and down, but there's moments, you know it, the way that I take. And when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He was a godly man, but he's still a man, frail like you and me, because we still have the propensity to not always respond right. But God is grace and patience with us and gives us the strength that we need to place our hope in him. In fact, Job says in chapter 7, verse 6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." All he knew was he was going to die soon and are spent without hope. There's times you're going to, I'm going to use this word intentionally, feel like you don't have hope. What does Dr. Berg say? Track your thoughts and not your feelings, right? Track your thoughts. We're really good. Have you? You probably have said this too. I don't feel well. I don't feel saved. I don't feel. It's about feeling, right? If we just focus on our feelings, we're going to be depressed, right? If we just look ourselves in the mirror, we're a depressing sight, right? But we have to look at God, right? Look up at God. And when we go through a difficult time, now, don't focus on the problem. I liken to a problem. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon, of course, is dangerous if you are right on the edge. But a trial is likened to the Grand Canyon. You could either look up or look down. If you look down at the Grand Canyon, standing right by the edge, that is scary, right? And you might even fall. But if you look up, are you going to see the Grand Canyon in the danger if you look up at God? No, you won't. That's why God says this, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, for he trusteth in thee." I mean, do you see the connection between keeping our focus on God and trusting him? That's the same as hoping in God. Because the opposite of that leads to physical sickness, a lack of peace, a lack of joy, affecting our body and affecting us spiritually, like Job. Job, a godly man. Any person who is godly can still fall. Take heed lest ye fall. Job fell. He had to get things right with God as well as his friends. And we must remember to respond rightly or we're going to face physical and spiritual sickness. Not only must we understand unfulfilled hope, lastly, secondly, experience fulfilled hope. Experience fulfilled hope. So far, it seems a little depressing, right? But we're going to have the right kind of hope, as we see in the rest of our text. Hope deferred, so hope, expectation that's never met or delayed, maketh the heart physically sick and spiritually sick when I don't respond rightly. But, do you like that word, but? But we don't have to be there. We don't have to be down and out. But when the desire cometh, we'll stop right there. We see God gives the reasons for fulfilled hope. He gives a reason for fulfilled hope. We see here, the desire cometh. This involves two things here. Simply, the desire has been met. The desire has been met. In this context, this is the right desire. But simply this, when we pray and God answers a prayer, and we get what we're hoping for, isn't it a sense of relief? A satisfaction in the fact that that hope has been met, the expectation we've been praying about, whether it's a health issue, a financial issue, whatever it might be. So this is a longing, a delight, a desire that has been, the word cometh means fulfilled. So that desire has been met. This is the right desire that God has met. And during that time, it's easier for us to say, "Oh, that's great, it's been met. And I can rest in the Lord now." But whether or not that desire has been met, we should still trust the Lord, right? Because this goes further than just simply having our desires met. This actually means this. The desire is aligned with God's will. The desire cometh, and we're going to see the connection with this last phrase. It is a tree of life, right? So this is a hope, a desire that we have. Any hope and desire we have must be aligned with God's will. It's easy to say that we're doing well when our hope is met, that desire is met, but it must be aligned with God's will. So when God is the object of our hope, here's the thing. This is an earnest expectation that God will fulfill his promises to us according to his will and way, regardless of our circumstance. Regardless if God chooses to heal us of cancer, regardless if God decides to give us that raise or to make that relationship right, what we consider right, if God chose to give us what we wanted, right, or not what we wanted, it is lining our desire. How is this done? How do we have this earnest expectation that God will fulfill his promises according to his will and way? Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7. Those are verses you should have memorized. Let me tell you. In that passage, it says this: delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Right? So you have to delight in the Lord so that God's desires for your life will line up and we will have the right desires. It's not my desires becoming God's desires. It's God's desires becoming my desires when I do what? When I love God. The word delight means to take pleasure, to love God, to have fellowship and delight in him. And when I delight and love God as I ought to, then I'm going to want the things he wants me to have, right? I want to obey his will. And the next verse, verse 5 says this, commit thy way unto the Lord. So I have to delight. First I have to trust, I have to delight. So the trust is in verse 3, the delight is in verse 4. And I have to commit, in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. To have the right hope, in order to really experience desire, to fulfill desire, is this. I've got to commit. The word commit means to roll over. I've got to surrender my way to God's way. When you surrender your way to God's way, it doesn't matter what God allows because God is always good. Because your hope is in God regardless if God gives you what you want. Romans 15:13 tells us, now the God of hope fill you up, fill you with all joy and peace, in believing that ye may abound in hope. What's up right there? Paul wrote that in jail. Could you imagine being in jail? And this was not one of those jails that had TVs and cushy seats. This was a jail that had the rats and the roaches and all the extras there. And yet he can say, this is the God of hope, fill you with joy. And he was in a bad circumstance, yet he placed his hope in God. We need to make sure that our desires are what God desires from us when we delight. That's a key thing. To have the desire cometh is to delight in God and surrender my will. That dream that you had, something ain't wrong having good desires. But are you okay if God never gives you the desires you really want to have? We have to get a point of saying, Lord, I surrender all to you. Even if the expectations of not having a bigger house, not having a bigger family, not having 10 grandchildren, you only have 5 grandchildren, whatever it might be, are you okay with that? Because all you need is Jesus Christ, because your hope is found in Jesus. Now we see not only does God give the reasons for fulfilled hope, but he gives a result. Here are the results. Look at this last phrase here. When the desire cometh, when the desire is fulfilled in Christ, in God, as we are lined up with God, as we commit ourselves to him, notice this, it is a tree of life. God gives us the results. The tree of life is imagery. There's 3 verses where the tree of life is used. It's used in Proverbs 3:18. She, wisdom, is the tree of life. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. Revelation 2 verse 7, to him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life. What is this an imagery of? Complete refreshment. Complete refreshment that is found in Christ alone. So when I commit and surrender my circumstances, my expectations in life, and give it to the Lord, delight myself in him, I'll have the right desires, I'm going to experience refreshment. Regardless if I get what I want, because it's not about what I want, It's about what God wants when I have my hope in Him. You see that? And it's not, it doesn't only picture complete refreshment, but also has the idea of complete satisfaction. That's why I had Bethany sing that song tonight. Hallelujah, I found Him. Who my soul so long has craved, Jesus satisfies my longing. Are you saved this evening? That's where it starts. You cannot have hope in Christ without believing on Christ for salvation. And is continuing finding your satisfaction in Christ, not only in salvation, but every moment of your life. You need to be satisfied with Christ. If God took everything away from you, I had no idea if I was ever going to play the piano again. When I had my accident, I had to come to a point saying, Lord, if I never could play the piano, it's okay because I'm satisfied with You. That's a really big test to see if you have any idols in your life. If God took away your television, if God took away your car, if God took away your kids and everything else, are you okay? We ought to be okay. We should have complete satisfaction. The psalmist in Psalm 73 writes this, verse 25 and 26, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. Is that your desire this evening? That there is none upon earth that you desire beside God? Let me tell you, I know I'm not there yet. I still fight with my flesh. My flesh wants my own way. I want to be satisfied with other things. But we need to be satisfied with God alone. And as Titus verse 2, chapter 2, verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope. You know, as believers, we have the blessed hope found in Christ, our heavenly home. We're going to be with God forevermore. This world is not my home. We're just passing through. Our plans and our expectations need to be surrendered to God because you know what? His plans are best for us. We see this evening that life is full of expectations, and your expectations tonight must be aligned with God's will. We saw God desires us to understand the unfulfilled hope, the reasons and the results of the unfulfilled hope, and to experience fulfilled hope, to understand the reasons and the results of fulfilled hope. As I mentioned, this was our theme verse for 2018. This verse went through my mind over and over again. 2018 was one of the most challenging years of my life. I'm not going to give you all the detail, but we had, it seemed like, one discouragement after another discouragement after another discouragement. And it just seemed to linger as we sought God's will. Lord, what do You want us to do? And it just seemed like it never ended. It seemed like we were just at this holding pattern where we had no direction. And we thought the ministry that we were at that time was going to be our long-term ministry. And that was my desire. That was my hope. And as I placed my hope in that, when I didn't get what I wanted, you know what? It was very discouraging. But looking back, and it not only led to me not getting what I wanted, not being able to stay at a long-term ministry, but we had to be in a position where we had to sell our house not knowing where we were going. I remember calling up a realtor and asking her to help us, and she asked us, where are you going to be moving to? And when we told her we have no idea, but we're trusting the Lord, she looked at me like I had two heads. It's like, you're selling your house, you don't know where you're going? That we were going to move in with Bethany's parents because we did not know. And as I was, Lord, show us. And at the same time, Lord, help me to have the right hope. I'm hoping in You, and I'm trusting in You. I'm committing my way. Show me where He wants to go. I had a number, I like 10 churches call me up in 2 weeks. I was like, I don't need 10 churches. I just need one church. I just want to know where You want me to go. And you know what? God made it very clear almost right away where we needed to be. And we've been at our ministry in New Jersey for a little over 2 years. And looking back, I'm so thankful I did not get my way. I'm so thankful God moved us from Pennsylvania to South Jersey. When we first we're looking, Beth and I, we're praying this, Lord, send us anywhere. We're willing to go wherever. And I, at first, we were a little hesitant about two states, New Jersey and California. I'll just be honest with you. New Jersey and California. And I remember Bethany, the next day, we talked about that. She said, Eric, I'm willing to go wherever. And I said this, even New Jersey? And she said, even New Jersey. And what happened was the next day, when she told me that, the next morning, I got an email from the head of the pulpit committee at First Baptist Church in Albany, New Jersey, asking us to pray about the church. And not knowing that a few days later, they sent a deacon and his wife to visit my church and to hear me preach. And I went to Bethany and I asked her, now, how serious were you were about that commitment to the Lord? And she said, I'm very serious about that. I said, good, because church in New Jersey just asked us to pray about it. And we had no idea the difference between South Jersey and North Jersey. All we knew, New Jersey had those crazy drivers. And they did everything right in their own eyes, like judges. That's what we thought, anyway, being from Pennsylvania. But you know what? We're so thankful that God led us there. Precious people. And it was the fit that I could never orchestrate. Only God could. But you know what? God put us through that valley for really the last over 4 years. It was particularly bad the last two years of being in a holding pattern. But we had to learn important lessons about where our hope was at. And when we, not even knowing where God was going to put us, I can honestly say that we had joy and peace when we committed it to the Lord and said, Lord, our hope is in your hands. We've already had our hope crushed, but we're going to place our hope in you now, in your expectations. You know what? God took care of it far abundantly than ever I could imagine or think. I don't know your situation this evening. I know you have, like I have, experienced unfulfilled hope, discouragement. I don't know what the future has for you, but I do know this, God is faithful. God is good. Regardless of your expectations and frustrations, to come to the point, we heard about Thanksgiving this morning, to be thankful for what you do have and what you don't have. Because your hope is placed in Jesus Christ. This evening, may you and I place our hope in God as we delight in him and commit him our way. Let's pray, every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask a couple questions, give you an opportunity to pray, and your pastor will come and close this time. Are you here without Christ? That's the most important decision, to place your trust in Christ alone for salvation. Say, Pastor Hanson, I'm not saved, but I want to be saved. I want to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you. Say, Pastor Hanson, I want to be saved. That's you. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Secondly, you don't need to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you this question. Where is your hope this evening? Are you frustrated? Maybe even angry at God because he hasn't given you what you wanted? He hasn't given you the family you want, the house you want, the work you want, the location, whatever it might be. Because you're placing your hope and your own desires and not God's desires. You have to delight yourself in him. Love him with all your heart and commit your way to him. Right now in the silence, let's pray and ask God for grace to commit our way to for his way so we can experience that desire cometh, the right desire that's fulfilled and that is satisfied by our hope in God. After you pray for a few moments, your pastor will come and close this time of invitation.